Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 this morning. We are going to record this morning's service, so if you know of someone that would be blessed by it or encouraged by the message that wasn't able to be here with us, you can share that message with them. And there's a variety of different ways that you can do that. I'm going to put one more post up on our website at antiquitybaptistchurch.com about how to download the church app. It's easy to send a message from that, but you can also do that from the website that we have through there. But that information is on there. It's on antiquitybaptistchurch.com. And it's a great ministry, and it allows us to sort of minister in a remote type of a way. And then also, somebody had recommended doing Facebook Live. I'm not on Facebook. I personally don't like social media. There's a lot of trouble, a lot of problems because of it. But then in this case, this is one way where it could be a blessing to us as a church to be able to still meet together remotely. But I don't know that I'll do that, so I'm not going to make any promises in that area. So Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and verse number 7, reading there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we pray now that you'd bless in this time of the service. Bless the message. Father, help me as I try to preach this. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit and use me and give me words that encourage, give me words that would increase our faith. And most of all, Lord, I pray for that supernatural, abundant peace of God and the strong faith that, Lord, it doesn't come through psychology. It doesn't come through any kind of mechanics of religion. But, Father, it comes from you. And I pray for that upon our congregation, Lord, and upon our people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've entitled my message today, A Prisoner of Fear. We could also call it A Prisoner of Anxiety. And obviously, I want to encourage us not to be a prisoner of fear. There are flyers up on our bulletin board in the back of the room. Those flyers back there, they're information from reputable sites. The two sites that you should go to if you're interested in finding out good information about the coronavirus or about the COVID-19 are cdc.gov and ohio.gov. Those two places, you'll get accurate information. On Saturday, a pastor that I know was on a teleconference call with religious leaders and with the office of Governor Mike DeWine. And so they put together a conference call, and they wanted to get all the religious leaders who are interested in being a part of that conference call so that they could get their information straight from the governor, straight from the state, because Governor DeWine said that one of the big problems when you have something like this is you have panic and you have a lot of misinformation going around. Misinformation through the media, through Facebook, through the internet, or whatever. And so they wanted to try to help faith-based groups, is what they call us, religious organizations. They wanted to try to help us by speaking to our leaders so that we could talk to our people and remind them to get your information from good and reputable sources. I imagine they also wanted to help preachers to not give any misinformation or continue to spread things that are not so. And we've seen through all of this, we've seen definitely a level of panic, haven't we? And a level of paranoia. And I want to just talk about today, how should the Christian handle this? How should the Christian deal with this? And I hope that this message would be a comfort and a blessing to you. And I hope that the information that I have to give will also be a help. So China started reporting this mysterious pneumonia-like flu going around or virus going around. They started reporting that back in 2019. We now know that the coronavirus called COVID-19, that it originated in bats, apparently, and then entered into the human race possibly through a food market in the Wuhan province of China. So this virus originating there now has begun to spread throughout the world population, and we're up on a lot of that information if we've been paying attention to it. They say as of March, these are accurate numbers now taken from CDC.gov and Ohio.gov. As of March 14th, 2020, yesterday, there were 156,536 confirmed cases internationally. 5,835 deaths worldwide. 26 confirmed cases in Ohio. That's taken from Ohio.gov. And zero cases in Meigs County. So it hasn't touched our county at all. One of the reasons why I wanted to have this church service this morning is I called up and I talked to some other preachers and asked them what they were doing and if any advice that they had. But one of the reasons why I wanted to have this service is to help God's people and to minister to God's people, and hopefully God's people can go out into the community and do the same. Another reason why I wanted to have this service is because we gather together to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. And so I wanted to do that. I wanted to get together to worship God's people. And then by doing that, that will strengthen us. That will get us grounded back in the Word of God. Amen. Because look, if you're watching NBC or Fox or CNN, if you're watching that stuff just 24/7, it's going to give you issues. You're going to have problems. You're going to start to feel paranoid. You're going to start to panic. You're going to be running out looking for toilet paper at gas stations or something like that. You can't watch that stuff 24/7. You need to stay up to date and watch a little bit of it. Amen. Watch a little bit of it. Stay up to date. Know the facts. Know what's going on. But go to reputable sources. Go to these websites. listen to what our leaders are telling us. Those kind of things. Because what will happen if we watch news 24/7 through this whole thing? We stay holed up in our house watching news, you know, and munching on popcorn or something like that, eating ramen noodles. What's going to happen? You're going to get paranoid. You're going to lose confidence. You're going to lose faith. And then what will happen is you'll sin against God. This leads to sin. This leads to a lack of faith, a lack of trust and confidence in God. And then also it weakens our testimony and our witness to the community. So I wanted to meet together today to have the church service. We'll just do it on Sunday morning. We'll not have a Sunday night church service. We'll not have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. We'll do that for 3 weeks. Okay. And yes, sir. Yeah, you are what you eat. Yeah, exactly. You feed on that, and there's no element of faith in that. You know, that's all just psychology and man's wisdom, and you'll become what you eat. Very good. Very good. So we'll do that for 3 weeks. And then if anything changes, you'll be able to find it on the Facebook page of this church. You'll be able to find it on our website, and we'll see how it goes from there. Having said that, excuse me. Having said that, taking a look at our two verses, Philippians chapter 4, verses number 6 and number 7, it says here, be careful for nothing. That means full of care. In other words, anxiety. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Does that include the coronavirus? Absolutely. Be careful for nothing. I'd like to say, first of all, that I refuse to be a prisoner to fear. I refuse to be a prisoner to worry or to anxiety. Now, there's a difference between the care of duty and the care of despondency or anxiety. That's just another word for anxiety that starts with D, so that I could get duty and despondency to go together. There's a difference between the care of duty. What is the care of duty? Well, those are the things that we need to know. If we're going to build a platform like the trustees did here, they didn't just get together and just say, oh, I don't know, we'll just get together and hope that it all works out the best that it can. No, the previous night, Brother Buck was thinking about all the details, everything that it was going to take. He wanted to know the amount of the materials. He wanted to know how many guys we were going to have there. And he stayed up probably late into the night thinking about that and maybe dreaming about it through the night. Yeah, getting a vision from the Lord. And so what we have here is a vision. No, but that's the care of duty. That's just good planning. The Lord doesn't tell us that it's a sin to be careful and to think about things such as safety, things such as pre-planning, all of those kind of things. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the care of despondency or the care of anxiety. That's what we are supposed to be warned against or cautioned against. You don't want to become a prisoner to fear and anxiety, because it's exactly what it will do. Webster, he said this. He said that anxiety usually springs from fear. It springs out of fear. What is fear? Fear is a lack of faith. You think of the disciples when they were on the boat out there in the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord had fallen asleep, and then the winds and the waves were tossing about, and they'd started to become scared. And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the waves, then he rebuked his disciples, and he said, "You have little fear or little faith." And they said, "Well, Lord, we were afraid we were going to perish." Jesus said, "That's because you have little faith." So fear is the absence of faith, and anxiety springs from a fear. You're held in suspense about some future event, about the uncertain, about the unknown. And it's a perplexity of mind, Webster says, to know how to shape our conduct. In other words, people want to understand what is going on, don't we? That's why we watch the news. That's why we, get online and look at things. We want to know what's going on, and there's nothing wrong with that. But watch out for the misinformation, because that can just compound your fear. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. But people want to know what is going on, and they want to know what to do. And these things are good to alleviate the anxiety. It's good for us to know a little bit about what's going on and what we're supposed to do about it. That's just wise. That's not a lack of faith. There's nothing wrong with the care of duty. And that's why we put the information up on the back. And it's stuff many of you know, but some of it you might not know. It might be good just to review. It might be good to just get on coronavirus.ohio.gov and print out some of those things about sanitation and safety and put it on your refrigerator. And they've even got ideas of what parents can do with their kids while they're not at school and while they're shut in, and where to go to do some things, and some good ideas for parents that might be going about half crazy after about 3 weeks of their kids not being in school. So it's good to have that information. It's good to know the facts. It's good to know how to prevent the spread of this virus. And it's good to know what to do if you are sick. And if you wonder what you are really supposed to do if you are sick, again, that information is on the back. It's all right to know those things. But what is not okay for a Christian is not okay to be a prisoner of fear, or to allow that anxiety to replace your faith, which is your confidence, your trust in God. That is not all right. Because anxiety is an attempt to carry the burdens of the present and to carry future burdens of life, to carry them for ourselves. That's what anxiety is. And you're trying to attempt to do something that you can't do. You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough to carry those burdens. And it reveals, when that happens, when you find yourself feeling anxious, when you find yourself being a prisoner to worry, it reveals a distrust for God. And that is a result of one of two things. Not understanding the person of God. Not understanding that he is sovereign, or in other words, that God rules over everything. God's in control. So it either reveals not understanding the person of God, or else it reveals sin. Because the absence of faith really is sin. The absence of trusting God is a sin that's dwelling within us, that's preventing us from trusting in God, that's causing us to be anxious. How are you coping with all this stress? And you might say, well, it's not really that big a deal, but it seems to be blown out of proportion. But you might say, personally, I don't think I'm really affected by it. I don't know that I am, but this is the beginning of it. But how do you deal with stress when it comes into your life in other forms? Maybe the stress of, the uncertainty of your future. How are you dealing with maybe the stress of wondering whether or not you're going to get sick, whether or not your spouse or your children might get sick? And really, this is just a part of life. We might wonder about what's going to happen to my job. Am I going to be able to retire from my job? Is it still going to be there? What's going to happen to the economy, to the stocks? There's a lot of different things that people think about, that they worry about. What about my mother or my father or somebody who's in a rest home? We worry about them. But we worry about a lot of different things in our lives. And what we do when we do these things, and the other day, I'll say this briefly and move on. The other day, Beth and I, on Thursday, we had to go do our training for our for children's services, and we are involved in a ministry called the House of Samuel. They help people to foster and to adopt children that are needy children. And Beth and I got involved in that last year. Well, we have to do 40 hours of training every 2 years. So our last day of training was on Thursday, and you just have to go when they schedule it, if you can. And it was a full day of training, so 6.5 hours minus the breaks. And do you know what it was on? It covered the topic of stress. So I got all the psychological latest information about how to handle stress. And do you know what they recommend? Now, that if this is being recommended in a state institution, it's also being recommended federally. So this is coming down from the very top. Do you know what they've realized and what they recommend? They realize that people who are faith-based families handle the stress of fostering troubled children. Because children who come into the home and have endured trauma by being starved or being sexually abused or being neglected or put into a closet and left there for a few days, whatever, mom has multiple boyfriends coming into the home and the girl's abused and then brought into a home where they love this child. They genuinely love them. And, what happens is that there's a trauma that happens to the caregivers, the foster family, as they absorb what has happened to that child. And so they are having symptoms, they say, of post-traumatic stress disorder and stuff like that. The caregivers are. And so what they say is that it's a very, very, very stressful thing to get involved in. This foster parenting is very, very stressful. And so they're trying to help people deal with their stress. And they say people find different ways of coping with their stress. And they find unhealthy and unnatural ways of coping with their stress. And one of the ways that the people do that is they cope with it through alcohol, or they cope with it through overeating, or binge watching, or and just with anger. And they just taught us all about this stuff. And by the time we were done with 6.5 hours of it, no joke, I was stressed out. I mean, I was stressed out to the max. I couldn't take anymore. But the interesting thing that I took away from that was they say that faith-based families, studies have shown and proven beyond any shadow of a doubt, faith-based families handle stress better. And they do because they pray. And so they recommend to us, this is a state institution, the guy, a trainer from the state, saying to us, you should pray. Now, when they say pray, they could be referring to yoga or Buddha or Muhammad or, you know, or pray to Allah or pray to any God, just pray to your God of choice. That's what they say. But the point is, they recognize it, and they're definitely convinced. But I wonder how convinced we are. Because it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. I mean, we're Christians. We're people of the book. If the state, if an ungodly, lost government understands how important prayer is, if schools are thinking about putting yoga into the classroom and into the education system, if they're thinking about putting yoga in there, it's because they're convinced that there's an element of this meditation and relaxation and all of that stuff that is helpful. Folks, I think that the world is starting to become more convinced of something that we as Christians should be convinced of, and that is that prayer is the answer to our stress. How are you coping with it? Do you cope with it by just binge watching television? Do you cope with it through alcohol or through complaining? Or how do you cope with it? By binge watching episodes of your favorite show on Netflix? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that we can sin under this anxiety. Sometimes people sink under the anxiety, and it's very real. Some people deal with a family member who's fighting cancer. They deal with it completely different than other people. There's somebody that I'm very close to, and he's dealing with a family member who has cancer, and they're seeing the ugly side of this long drawn out fight against cancer, and it's caused that person to get out of church. and to just cope with it by turning to favorite hobbies, cope with it by just burying themselves in work and burying themselves in going back to college and studying and all of these things, but anything except for the fellowship of believers. And I want to say the way that we should cope with it, way we should deal with it, is by just drawing closer to God and strengthening ourselves through prayer. Now, Dr. Andrew Fabick of Truett-McConwell University. That's Dr. Andrew Fabick, I believe. He wrote on his blog site, "What most people are unaware of is that the flu has been averaging between 9 and 45 million cases per year since 2010. This is taken from an article on AnswersInGenesis.com. But he says that 9 to 45 million cases have been tracked per year, with 12,000 to 61,000 deaths per year since 2010. Now, that's the flu. Deaths per year since 2010 of the flu, 12,000 to 61,000. The COVID-19 hasn't even reached half of those numbers. But if you watch the headlines, they make it look like it's something that is just like we've never endured before, something just like we've never seen, and they blow it way out of proportion. Now, are you as scared about getting the flu as you are right now about getting the coronavirus? Because according to these numbers, you shouldn't even be as half as scared. And I don't know about you, but I don't wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat worried about getting the flu. And the fact of the matter is that this world and the media has a way of driving us to the point of paranoia. And don't let the world, don't let the media cause you to lose your faith in God, because it's an unrealistic picture that they're painting for us. I'm going to move on to point number two, but I think just about every email that I've gotten from all the regular people that I get emails from, every one of them has had coronavirus up in the header of my email. They're just trying to use it to promote their cause, use it to sell their product, whatever it is. You see these quacks and these faith healers on television using it to try to sell you some kind of a supplement or something like that, or some kind of oil. You see some of the most, way out in left field people, you know, trying to tell you that, God, they've got a prophecy and this is a judgment, which, I'll preach about that another time, but no doubt God uses, plagues as judgments, and, no doubt this is a judgment. But you see him saying all kinds of things, but the fact of the matter is that we don't know what God is doing. Okay, so we can't stand up and tell you exactly what God is doing, but I can tell you how you ought to respond to it as a Christian. And that is a strong faith and trust in God. Don't be a prisoner to fear. Don't be a prisoner to anxiety. Secondly, we should understand the power of prayer. This power of prayer, it's a supernatural prayer or power that can break you out of the prison of anxiety. Excuse me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That is, this power that comes through prayer is a supernatural power, and it is referred to as prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and then requests. They're all referring to the same thing. That's all referring generally to our prayer. But we're praying for requests, things that we need from God. We're giving thanks to the Lord. We're praying for supplies, for God to provide for us our needs. He tells us to pray for even our daily bread, and we should bow our heads and we should pray for our daily bread. And I want to encourage you to continue to observe your regular times of prayer. I hope that you have regular times of prayer that are daily times that you pray to God. But I want to say even more, that you should be praying more for the concern of this virus, be praying more for yourself, asking the Lord to just review your life, and then ask the Lord to show you whether or not you are not trusting him. Are you giving in to fear? Is this a point where you're sinning against him and being anxious? Are you sinking down in your anxiety, or are you trusting in him? And that as you pray, God will reveal this stuff to you. Somebody said this, the way to be careful for nothing is to be prayerful about everything. It says here, in everything by prayer and supplication. We ought to be praying about every detail of our life. Bring your whole life before God and pray over every detail. you will be free from worry. You will be free from anxiety as a result of this. That's where the power lays.
Amen.
Bring your whole life. Say, God, examine my life. Examine my fellowship with you. Am I close to you, or have I gotten cold on you? Have I moved far away from you? Father, show me why it is that I don't have much of a prayer life. Lord, just I want you to go over my life and over every detail, and I just want to talk it over with you. And I want to confess sins that I need to confess to you. And I want to confess these and get this clean and just drag it out into the open, drag it out into the light. Confess sins, rededicate your life to the Lord, rededicate yourself to his service. Give him your time, give him your talents, rededicate your gifts to the Lord during this time. Because more than ever, when America goes through something like this, they need to see God's people ministering. They need to see the church ministering. Did you hear about the Christians in China? Christians who are persecuted, underground Christians. They're not part of the state church that is acceptable. They're the underground true church, the gospel preaching church. And during this time that they've seen the Christians go out into the streets and pass out those masks to people. Christians going out, endangering themselves, putting themselves out into the masses, out into the populations, passing out the mass, and the communist government has recognized the Christians for being sacrificial and being kind and being given, and therefore the gospel has shined brighter in China as a result of this. That's one good thing that came out of it. Now, what's to stop us from just bringing our whole life before God, getting clean, confessing, rededicating our lives to God, and using this time to serve him? Taking advantage of it to be able to serve him. And then when making your requests, try to remember your receipts. You know that he says they're your requests. Let your requests be made known unto God. That's what you're asking for God to give you. You're asking for supplies. But when you do that, remember your receipts. That is the items that God has blessed you with in the past. When you remember your receipts, you will be thankful. And when you give thanks to God, then God blesses and blesses your prayer life and says, there's a thankful child that appreciates what I've done for them. And I'm going to go ahead and continue to bless that prayer life. Now, Paul is in prison when he wrote this letter. So he's not just giving you a flippant Christian standard Christian response. Well, just I'm praying for you. Just remember to pray. You know, God's not giving you just a flippant response here. This is coming from a man who's suffered severe trials and going through real troubles for the Lord. He's in prison and he says that be careful for nothing. Don't be full of anxiety and worry. Paul said, I'm not, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, because that is the power that can break you out of that prison of anxiety. And lastly, I'd like to say that there is a promise of peace. There's a promise of peace. So we should be careful for nothing. Just like the Lord said in the Gospels, he said, take no thought for your life. And he's saying, don't worry, don't have anxiety about your life, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to go, what you're going to do. Don't be full of anxiety for your life. So be careful for nothing. And then it says that if we will do this, that we will have the peace of God, which is a supernatural peace that comes. It says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Now, the state government has recognized the importance of prayer. They've recognized the importance of meditation and exercise and all of those things. All of those things are psychological, but they're on to something. They understand the power of prayer. But we're not talking about a psychological thing. We're not just saying that you can mechanically do this. Your times of prayer in the day, and then remember to pray when you feel like, you know, your world's coming apart. I'm not talking about if you just do those things mechanically, you're going to experience this. Do you understand that? I'm saying that this is a supernatural power of God that comes to people who have a real faith relationship with Jesus Christ and God on a daily basis. The real fellowship, the real thing. If your faith is as thin as a razor blade, okay, you're not going to experience this. If you have anemic, weak, worn out, sissy, I give up at the first sight of trouble kind of a faith, you're not going to experience this. That's what I'm trying to say. But I'm talking about people who endure afflictions for Jesus Christ, who walk through the valley of the shadow of death, trusting in their shepherd. I'm talking about people who can get a hold of God in prayer, people who are trying to stay right with God, people who are thankful, people who are praying on a regular basis, these kind of people. People who are strong in their faith in God, they have this promise of peace, and God gives it to you, and it just washes over you, and it's something that is supernatural. And you're not going to get it from yoga. You're going to get it from a real Bible Christianity and a real prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that the peace of God, that means it comes from God. That's why I say it's supernatural. The peace of God, and it passes all understanding. Psychologists can't figure it out, but they recognize it, that there's something to it. Shall keep your hearts. What is that? Your emotions? It'll keep your emotions. And we are emotional creatures. It'll keep you in check emotionally. And it'll keep your minds. It'll help you with your thoughts. It'll help you to get centered on the scriptures and get founded on the scriptures. It'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's the promise of peace. And we do live with a degree of uncertainty, don't we? On a daily basis, there is the unknown aspect to our life. But like I said before, we have to understand who God is. And let me just like make it as plain as I possibly can. You just kind of have to be okay with that. You have to be okay that you live with uncertainty and you live with the unknown, because that's what faith is. We are walking by faith. Faith means that we're trusting in God and we can't see him. And we're trusting and believing that he sends his angels to care for us. We're trusting and believing that his hand, which is not a literal physical hand, God's a spirit, he doesn't have body parts, but we're trusting that God's hand is guiding us. We're trusting in the inspiration of the scriptures. We're trusting in things, and we don't know every degree, but we walk in that posture, in that position of faith. And God will bless you if you trust him in the uncertainties. That's what God wants. So you have to be okay to live like that. And you have to also remember, if you have to understand who God is. God is in control of everything. Amen. So God's not going to allow something to come into your life that he doesn't want there. But when something comes into your life, God has allowed it. And God will bring you through it. And God will bless if you'll trust him in it. I keep saying the fact of the matter, and I'm trying not to say that again. Nothing can touch you. You are invincible. Nothing can touch you unless God lets it touch you. You cannot die until God says it's time to come on home. You really are invincible because you are under the protective power of God, and he is intensely interested in your life. If you are a born again Christian this morning, and he's got a plan, he's got a will for you, you ought to be able to walk into situations, not foolishly, but if God sends you to do something, you ought to be able to walk into that situation thinking that God has got my back. God has compassed me around with his blessing, with his protection, with his providence. He says this, I'll finish this up, shall keep your hearts and minds. That word keep right there, that's a Greek word that refers to a company of soldiers guarding a city. That's a military term. When Paul used that term, they understood what that meant, that he was referring to the word that could be used about a company of soldiers, not just a band of soldiers, not a squad, but a company of soldiers surrounding a city to protect a city. And everybody understood the power and the authority of the Roman army at that time. And they understood that Rome meant power, and that the government, they're the soldiers occupying, that meant power and safety and security. He says that that will keep, the peace of God will keep your hearts and your minds. As we close, let's look at one passage together. I want to give you a passage of scripture that will help you to keep your heart and mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you take notes, you ought to write this down. And what I'm encouraging you to do is I'm encouraging you to take time to meditate on the scriptures, meditate on the passage that we've just studied, memorize it, have it available to you at all times of the day or the night, to remember Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And here's another passage of scripture. When the world tells you to meditate, they're talking about you doing stretches or something like that and trying to get to the core of the center of your being or something like that, or get to a place of self-realization. That's all ungodly nonsense that will lead to demonic influence. When the Bible tells you to meditate, the Bible tells you to think on the Word of God and to ponder it, to pore over the pages of Scripture, to pray the Word of God back to Him, to use it to guide your thoughts and to renew your mind. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 14 through 18, I'll just read it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14 through 18. I want to encourage you to meditate on Scripture, to pray over it, to let it guide and keep your thoughts. So verse number 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. So we're not going to give in to the paranoia. We're not going to faint. We're not going to let it make us weak and ineffectual as Christians. We're going to be strengthened. But you, though your outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. They say that people, as they're getting older, are more susceptible to these things. But it's not necessarily just that they're getting older. That's misinformation. It's those who have compromised immune systems and are going through certain different heart and different kind of conditions that those people. But the fact of the matter is that our outward man is perishing, and we're not going to get out of this thing alive. But our inward man is renewed day by day, that God is able. So you could pray, God, renew my inward man, strengthen me and my faith from the heart, strengthen it day by day. For our light affliction, that is just living in this world, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's faith. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you know what that's saying? Do you know why I had you turn there? I'm trying to get you to look at the eternal things. Look at the eternal. Set your mind and your heart upon God through this time. Strengthen yourselves. Teach your kids to do it. Let them watch you. When the whole world, I mean, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen games canceled. I don't think this has happened since, not with the SARS, the MERS. Sports games canceled, concerts canceled, church canceled. Use this as a time to speak to your children and speak faith into their lives through this. And don't set your eyes and your mind on the things that are temporal. Because if you do that, they say everyone acts differently to the stressful situations that we go through. Some deal with it with anxiety, worry, or fear, which will affect your health, all of these things. Some deal with it through uncertainty and frustration. They just get mad and frustrated about it. Some deal with it in loneliness. They just isolate themselves. They just shut down. They stop interacting with other people, and they start feeling cut off from loved ones. And some deal with it and cope with it by desiring to use alcohol or drugs. What are those people? Symptoms of depression that follow and so on. What are those people? Those are people who are looking at the things that are temporal, temporary. And they just can't get their eyes and their mind and their heart off of the temporary things. And the answer is to get your mind on the things that are eternal through all of this, and to draw close to those and trust God. Does it mean that God doesn't love you or God's not protecting you if you get sick? No, it doesn't mean that at all. God is in control, and God makes everything work out to His plan, His purposes, His will. And He doesn't give us the privilege of always understanding everything that happens, but we are to trust Him through it. And we never know but what God might use a sickness to fulfill His will. And we'll understand it one day when we're with Him, if He allows us to go through that. Let's pray. I'm going to ask our musicians to come ahead, and we'll sing a hymn of invitation. And if you need to take time to pray, if you're feeling stressed out, and if you say, "Preacher, I'm okay right now," well, I want you to remember this lesson for the future. And also, during this time, our nation is called for a day of prayer. And I want you to use this to encourage other people to remain strong in faith, to minister to other people who don't have the people around them like us, to strengthen them spiritually, to encourage them. Use this and cheer your own heart, and then just try God out. Say, Lord, I'm going to take this promise, and I'm going to claim this promise, and I want you to show me, Lord, if it works. I want to feel this supernatural peace of God that passes all understanding. I want to get closer to you, Lord, than maybe I've ever been in my whole life. And so I want you to take this message and use it, apply it. And right now, if there's somebody that you're thinking of that you're concerned for, somebody who's in need, somebody who might be sick, somebody who might be shut in, maybe a family member that lives in another state, whatever the need might be, let's use this time together to pray, to really pray for our nation, and to pray that through all of this, that God would use this to awaken people to their need, their spiritual need for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this gathering here. I thank you for our church. I thank you for the Word of God, Lord, and how applicable this is and how it applies to my life, Lord. When I go through different stressful situations, when the troubles of life hit me, Lord, sometimes I don't cope with them in the best way. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all just to draw close to you and just to draw close in prayer and to bring our whole lives before you and to get thoroughly right with you, dear God. And to confess any sin, confess any lack of faith that we need to confess, and then to rededicate ourselves to you so that we might be strong. And then, Father, I pray that you'd use us. I pray that you'd use us as encouragers. Use us to do acts of mercy with the extra time that we have not being in church services. Father, I pray that you'd help us to minister to people and that you'd put somebody on our heart that we ought to call or we ought to write a letter to or that we ought to just maybe make a brief visit to encourage them. Lord, I pray that you'd just use us during this time. May we shine brightest, Lord, when things look the darkest in our world. And Father, I pray that you'd give us the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that would keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. What's our song, brother?